Well, Jimmy Kimmel, he made a triumphant return to the air last week, back in his late night slot on ABC. His pretty abrupt removal had caused uproar. It had sparked a boycott of Disney in the name of free speech by some people. But his restoration seems to have angered the Trump administration and put regulation and ownership of media front and centre in the political debate. So what is going on inside the complicated and deeply political world of American television? It's News Talk Daily, I'm Ciara Doherty. And even though a quarter of ABC stations refused to air it, that's the Jimmy Kimmel Show, the comeback, some 6.26 million people still tuned in to Jimmy Kimmel Live on Tuesday. It was a ratings boost for Jimmy Kimmel. It's about three times the show's average ratings. And according to Disney, a further 26 million people watched Kimmel's emotional 28-minute monologue on social media.
I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight. And the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't...
Well, critics on the left in America, they claim that Kimmel's suspension was textbook government censorship. But might this just be one high-profile example of the deepening links between the big media and the Trump White House? The president has been making threats against the TV networks for what he claims is ongoing negative coverage of him and his administration.
97, 94, 95, 96% of the people are against me in the sense of the newscasts are against me. The stories are 97% bad. So they gave me 97. They'll take a great story and they'll make it bad.
And on the night that Kimmel returned to the airwaves, President Trump took to Truth Social, as he is inclined to do, to claim that the comedian is yet another arm of the DNC. And to the best of my knowledge, that would be a major illegal campaign contribution. That's my best Donald Trump accent there. And what he also went on to say is, I think we're going to test ABC out on this. Let's see how we do. So today we're asking, why does all this matter? Who actually owns what in American television? And who's really pulling the strings behind the scenes? And I'm delighted to be joined today by US media analyst Claire Atkinson from The Media Mix. You are welcome to News Talk Daily, Claire.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Abruptly, he had been cancelled or preempted, as they called it. And then just as abruptly, it seemed that Jimmy Kimmel was put back on air. And I think a lot of people would have thought, OK, that's it. We can draw a line under this whole saga and move on. Can we?
Well, there's another new wrinkle, and that is that big shareholders of Disney, which is the corporate owner of ABC, are now saying, you know, was there a financial impact? Were you acting in the best interests of shareholders when you suspended Jimmy and all the advertisers didn't get to promote their products to all the viewers? And should that be something that's scrutinized too? So, you know, what we have in these situations in America, and I've lived there for good 25 years, is the endless question of who should own and control what the majority of people see and hear. And I think that's at the heart of why this is such a big story. We had also just a couple of weeks ago learned that Stephen Colbert, who was the late night host of CBS, was fired from his show. The suspicion there was that the company CBS was involved in a merger. Trump didn't like what Colbert was saying because he was highly critical every night. And as we know, Donald Trump watches a lot of television. He's hyper aware of critics, and he spends a lot of time making sure that they are called to account, whether they are late night critics or whether they are news reporters at the New York Times. Trump is currently suing the New York Times for $15 billion. He's suing the Wall Street Journal for $10 billion, which is owned by a sympathetic media owner, Rupert Murdoch. And so, you know, what you're seeing is that every quarter and seemingly every day, Trump has a beef with somebody about something. And, you know, there's a feeling that the First Amendment, the right to free speech, it's and the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it's being extinguished bit by bit. The criticism is that these big corporations are seemingly capitulating to Trump without much pushback.
You mentioned there that ABC is, of course, owned by the Walt Disney Company and the questions being raised by their shareholders. But there does seem to have been an effort by a lot of people to boycott Disney, to cancel their Disney cruises, to say that they weren't going to travel to and pay admission fees for Disneyland or buy any of the merchandise in the Disneyland stores. Was it people power, do you think, that forced the network to change their position on this? Or why? Why did they decide, actually, we're going to suspend him momentarily, but let's bring him back?
Yeah, I think a lot went into it. As you said rightly, the ABC and Disney found themselves yet again in the middle of the cultural crosshairs where you can't please anybody. You end up doing one thing that pisses off the left or the right, and every which way you turn, somebody is angry. And so companies are trying very hard to stay away from that nightmare situation. Disney is no stranger to this, though. We had a situation under the Biden administration where the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, brought in something that was dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill. And the CEO of Disney at the time didn't say anything, didn't protest this bill, and got into trouble for not standing up for what many of the staff thought were simple human rights. And, you know, Disney was a victim then of the culture wars. People did the same thing. They said, well, you know, we're not going to go to Disney theme parks. And so, you know, in some ways you have to feel for management that, you know, no matter what they do, it's going to be the wrong thing for somebody. You know, in this situation, you know, I think there's a fear that the FCC, which is the regulator of American broadcast networks, that they have kind of outsized power. And as you mentioned earlier in the introduction to the show, Trump is even now still saying this is a test case. You've put him back on air, and now we're going to see what we might do about that. And so, you know, the FCC regulates the public airwaves. You know, they have to make sure that what's on those airwaves is okay for public consumption. And Trump has not been shy about demanding equal time. So even if you're a comedian making fun of Trump, you know, they're kind of making the argument, well, you should have somebody else on to counterbalance that. And there's another very controversial talk show on ABC called The View, which you might have heard of. Whoopi Goldberg is on that show. And they talk about the news of the day. And there's a conversation now at the FCC about whether that should be reclassified. Is it a news program if they always talk about critical things about Trump? So, you know, this is a messy, messy situation. But, you know, for proponents of free speech, it's pretty chilling. You know, there's a feeling with all these comedians getting canceled and all of these lawsuits against news journalists writing things that Trump doesn't like, that we're headed down a very scary path.
I mean, I do actually watch The View sometimes on YouTube, but it's pretty uncompromising.
Yeah.
They don't hold back on their views. I would say it's fair to say that Whoopi Goldberg isn't a fan of Donald Trump. Would that be the understatement of the day here?
Yes.
Do you actually think that could be in the firing line?
Trump has made those comments that I think that he said The View's going to go off air. He made those comments at the end of the season, though. You know, most of these broadcast network shows end in May. And so it was kind of read as, oh, he could have meant that it was just ending the season. But it's definitely in his firing line. And interestingly, they did not discuss the Jimmy Kimmel situation out of the gate. They did a couple of days ago. And their argument was, we're going to let Jimmy speak first. But to me, that seems unusual that is a topic they didn't immediately get into. And perhaps it suggests that, you know, perhaps their corporate overlords said, can you just, until this situation is less fiery, can you hang fire? And so, you know, they have left-wing and right-wing people on that show, and it is a good debate show, but it does seem to be in Trump's crossfire.
I mean, we mentioned there at the top that Jimmy Kimmel made this triumphant return to the airwaves last week and all these millions of people tuned in to watch it. But a quarter, 25% of ABC stations refused to air it. Is that because they sort of stood over the decision by ABC to take him off air in the first place and they weren't comfortable with putting him back on?
Yes, I think that's most of the story. The other piece of the story is that these local station owners, their names are Nexstar and Tegna. They own, I think, more than 60 ABC stations as affiliates. So that means they broadcast the signal, but they're not owned by Disney. So what's happening at the moment is there's consolidation of these local TV station groups. These two station groups in particular have business in front of the FCC, which has to adjudicate over whether they rubber stamp this merger between these two groups. And so my guess would be that the CEOs of these station groups are thinking, gosh, if we air Jimmy Kimmel, what's the FCC going to say about that? It has to be said that the guy in charge at these big station groups is right-leaning. And so there's a kind of a subtle threat that your merger isn't going to go through unless you do what we say. And we kind of had seen that with Paramount Global, which owns MTV and CBS Network and the Paramount Movie Studio. They recently sold their business to the family of Larry Ellison, who's one of the richest guys in the world. He is the, you know, the CEO of Oracle. He was in the White House recently with Trump. He is friendly with Trump. And so just to kind of go beyond Jimmy Kimmel, there is this broader question of, you know, where does media ownership go? And what do you have to do and say to please the FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr and to please Donald Trump in order for them to allow you to get these mergers through? And then, you know, once they do, what have they promised? 60 Minutes is one of the hardest hitting news shows on American TV. It's on CBS. And they have tangled with Trump again and again. Their new season is coming back, and one of their new segments is going to be about UFC's Dana White, who is going to have a wrestling match on the lawn of the White House. And so, you know, you kind of wonder, like, was that something that they were already choosing as journalists as the most newsworthy thing to talk about? Or is this something that they're doing to keep Trump happy?
Ryan Curry, a bit of favor. I mean, you mentioned sort of lots of names there, CBS, ABC, Paramount, Nexstar. And I think a lot of News Talk Daily listeners today will be thinking, what exactly? Who exactly? Yeah. Because we have very kind of basic structures here in Ireland. We really essentially have four TV stations, Irish brands, Irish owned. Bring me through or explain the structures in America, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, most of the media companies, the concentration of power is tied up in what they own in the news business. And so, you know, basically there are like four broadcast networks. You've got ABC owned by Disney. You have NBC owned by a cable company called Comcast. They also own Sky News, which your listeners might be familiar with. We have CBS, which was owned by Paramount, but is now owned by the Ellison family's Skydance. And we have Fox, which is owned by Lachlan Murdoch's Fox Corporation. And so they're the, you know, essentially the four big entities. And then we have cable news. We have CNN, which is owned by Warner Brothers. And we have Fox News, also owned under Fox. And so we're seeing, you know, this huge movement of viewers from broadcast television to streaming. That's probably happening across the world. And it's weakening the broadcast networks because the advertisers are shifting away from traditional television. They're going to streaming. They're going to social media. And so in the background of all of this, you have an ABC Disney thinking, you know, can we really still afford Jimmy Kimmel and his hundreds of staff and the high salaries? And does the advertising, they still support these kind of shows? And Trump knows that. And so in some ways, he's very savvy about what's happening in the media landscape. And so, you know, there's concern about, you know, not just who owns your local broadcast network, but who's going to own the social media that most people are looking at? It goes beyond really television and streaming. And, you know, a lot of young people, I think the majority of people who are looking at TikTok are young. And, you know, this Ellison family is now getting to be an owner of the US version of TikTok, also thanks to Trump. So potentially we have this one family in charge of TikTok, CBS News, and they're also at the moment discussing a potential acquisition of Warner, which owns CNN, which would be put a lot of power into the hands of one of the world's richest men.
And underneath those big four, NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox, we have these affiliates. So how do they operate?
That's right. So because America is a very, very big, big place, local TV stations transmit the signals to the local audience, and they can opt to be affiliates of ABC or they can opt to be affiliates of NBC. And so it's a kind of an very old fashioned, anachronistic way of broadcasting. ABC owns some of those stations. They're called the owned and operated, but they need these other affiliates to transmit the signal to the nation. And so this breakdown with Nexstar and Tegna is very serious because, you know, what runs in Jimmy Kimmel's place? I think one of those broadcasters ran the memorial for Charlie Kirk, who, you know, was the tinder for this whole story. And so it's all very well as having this discussion about the importance of media, but at the end of the day, the language and the ferocity at which people are discussing these matters with each other is leading to political violence. And I think, is there any attempt to dampen it down? It really doesn't seem like it.
You mentioned there the concerns around Larry Ellison. He's the second richest person in the world, and he is trying to merge all of these different networks and affiliates, it would seem. But hasn't there always been media consolidation in the UK and indeed in the US, where you've had single individuals or single families that control a large amount of the news output that is there, whether it's Robert Maxwell or Rupert Murdoch's or the Harris? Hasn't it always been the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And there's always been fear about who owns the news business. I think what is different about this is that we have a president who really has been able to get everybody in line and to threaten them and to say, if you are not singing from my hymn sheet, I am going to sue you. You know, there's been this feeling that people have capitulated in advance. And so President Trump has looked to reform universities, looked to target law firms that were against him, and is prosecuting James Comey, and on and on and on. And there really isn't a day that goes by that we don't see some Trump action aimed at making sure that the media that he receives is the media that he wants. I think that the net effect of this is that a lot of people go elsewhere for their news. They do go to social media. They do go to podcasts. They do go to independent outlets like Substack, which is where my newsletter is. It's a tough one. I think we're living in an environment where freedom of speech may carry a penalty. And, you know, I'm in and out of the United States. I am thinking consciously about what I put on my social media feed. Will it enable me to get back in? Will I be hoisted at the border for something I said? And these are things that are on my mind that have never been on my mind and all the time I've lived there. We're really in a very different environment right now.
For some people, the positive might be that Jimmy Kimmel was restored, was put back on air, and maybe some of the TV networks are not quite as under the thumb as some critics of the administration might claim. To go to Truth Social, to go to Donald Trump's message, I don't know what you call it when it's not on the X platform, he said, we're going to test ABC out on this. What exactly could he do to ABC?
I read that as saying we want equal time, that if you have a critic of mine, I want to be able to respond to it, or you need to find somebody who's a surrogate of mine to respond, or that they could reclassify The View as something other than a news show. And again, requiring equal time. Or, you know, I think Trump said in that post that he had already extracted $16 million from them for another infraction, and that he might try his hand again at seeing if he could get some more money from them, which really feels like something of a shakedown. And, you know, really unprecedented, I think, in the history of the American presidency, that you have a president looking to sue so many people and looking to gather, millions of dollars from all these media companies. It was the same situation a couple of months ago with CBS. CBS's owners had to pay a couple of million dollars because of how they'd edited an interview with Kamala Harris that President Trump didn't like. And so ultimately, my guess would be that that testing would be perhaps another lawsuit.
And just finally, Donald Trump does make the point that 80% of the coverage about him coming from these main networks is negative, you know, that he does not get a fair hearing at all. Would you agree with that assessment? Is there any truth in it?
I think that the journalists that are at the broadcast networks want to, their allegiance is to truth. And I think if they see politicians deviating from the truth, they're going to call it out. President Trump is a sales and marketing genius. He is an excellent political communicator. He is extraordinarily effective at messaging. You know, you only have to, you know, look at the rallies to see that. I think there's actually been an effort on most newsrooms' part to really dampen down criticism, if anything, and try to stay in his good graces as much as possible while also hewing to the truth. A lot of truth is in the eye of the beholder in America. We have a very firm grasp in Europe about facts. And I think there's a lot of things in America, because of its heritage, that are very much up for debate about what's true and what's not true. You know, we just saw the presidential order about Tylenol affecting pregnant women. You know, doctors have been saying, well, I think it's okay. And so everything's always up for debate in America, and it makes it difficult, I think, to operate in a news environment that is kind of where fact is accepted by everybody. Things are always under debate in America. Yeah, that makes there are a lot of places for politicians to push back from every direction.
Yeah, it's frightening. The death of truth and the death of fact. Everything can be debated, it appears, these days. Claire Atkinson from The Media Mix, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Well, you'll get lots of truth and lots of fact here, I promise, on News Talk Daily. That's a commitment I am going to make to you. We'll be back in your inbox, in your feed tomorrow morning, bright and early. Don't forget to give us a like or a follow. Thanks for your company today. Take care.